tribulation period from the standpoint of the two witnesses. In chapter 12, it's a tribulation period from the standpoint of Israel's flight into the wilderness, 3.5 years. In chapter 13, it's the second half of the tribulation from the standpoint of the Antichrist, the false prophet, the mark of the beast. So in chapter 10, we had the descent of the son of the herald angel. Time shall be no longer. It's time for the return of Christ. Yes, but then the judgment series is taking place in heaven. We kind of see that. But then it takes us down on earth, and we see what's been happening on earth while the trumpets have been blown, and the trumpet judgments cover virtually the entire second half of the tribulation. So while that has been taking place above, we now come below and see what is happening on the earth. So if I could have somebody read for me, please, chapter 11, verses 3 to 12.
When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of people, kindreds, and tongues, and nations shall see their death for these 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them.
Right, two witnesses. Again, their ministry, it's in the second half. I know it says, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast, it doesn't say the beast will then ascend out of the bottomless pit, but it's the beast that ascendeth, takes you back to his origin. They testify in the second half of the tribulation, the beast ascends out of the bottomless pit at the midpoint of the tribulation. But he is identified when he strikes a death blow at them as to his own origin. And but here you've got, while the Antichrist has been putting on, according to Daniel chapter 8, a show from the Temple Mount that lasts for 2,300 days, for 1,260 days, the Antichrist right at the Temple Mount, the two witnesses right at the Temple Mount will be proclaiming the gospel, presenting the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ with power, with sign wonders for 1,260 days. And one of the great characteristics of the second half of the tribulation is going to be the fact that there will be two voices, sets of voices, coming out of Jerusalem. You'll have the show put on by the Antichrist, Temple Mount, first as Israel's benefactor, but then setting up his own image there. And then you're going to have, right in the same proximity, the two witnesses preaching. The Antichrist cannot do anything about it until the Lord is finished with their testimony. And so that's what we've got here. This is an amazing picture. This puts the second half of the tribulation period in a... We see this tussle between truth and error. And many will believe the witness of the two witnesses. But many will not. And that's the way it is today. Some believe the things which are spoken, some believe not. The identity of the two witnesses has long been a subject of interest among students of the Bible. Again, without looking at your notes, there'll be two witnesses. And which ones would you think they might be?
Elijah.
Okay. What would be the reason why Elijah could be one of them? It said he would come. So the prophecy. Any other reason why Elijah would be one? He didn't die. Okay, is there another? And who were they? Moses and Elijah. So Moses, and what would be in favor of Moses being one of them? Pardon? Okay. Well, Moses turned waters to blood with the plagues. And these are said to do something very similar to that. They in verse 6, it says they have power over waters and turn them to blood. So Moses, what would be against Moses being one of them? He died. Okay. Who's another one that sometimes is suggested? Enoch. And what would be in favor of Enoch? He didn't die. What else would be in favor of Enoch? In Jude. But what did Enoch do? He preached the Lord's return. All right. My view is that it's not Moses and it's not Enoch. I don't think the Bible does not name them. We assume maybe they will be those two men, and they did appear on the Mount of Transfiguration, at least Elijah and Moses did. Enoch, but the Bible presents them as two olive trees. In our notes, we gave you a couple of weeks ago, we gave you the picture of the two witnesses. And I looked for a good picture that I thought would look like the two witnesses. And I had all sorts of pictures, but this shows two olive trees with two men standing next to them. You can hardly see the men. You see the olive trees. And that's what they're called in the prophecy given in Zechariah. And there's that famous verse, and it's one we would claim today, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, Zechariah 4:6. And so you've got a picture of these two olive trees. You can see them in the past notes. two men kind of mingled in amongst, beside them. On top of them are seven branch candlestick. And so that's really the biblical picture. But they are not named. The two witnesses are not named. They're not. Now in Zechariah, the immediate prophecy was of two men in that day. One was Zerubbabel, the political leader, and the other was Joshua, the religious leader, not the Joshua you're familiar with or I'm familiar with, but the two men that would restore the nation after they were taken to Babylon. And they are kind of a type of the latter day two witnesses. But we do not know their names. Now, the Bible does say quite definitely, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, it says before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. If the great and dreadful day of the Lord is a seven-year tribulation, well, that means he would come before the tribulation and maybe even be fulfilled with John the Baptist. And that's always a question. If Christ said, if you would receive me, then yes, John would have fulfilled the prophecy of Elijah. But, of course, they didn't receive him. John the Baptist does not fulfill that prophecy. But Christ quite definitively states in chapter 17 of Matthew that Elijah will come. Now you go through it all and it gets a bit, and we've given you the views here. You can read about it and the pros and the cons. It does appear that Elijah is going to come. Christ said he would come. That's all we need. Malachi said he would come. That's all we need. The question is, was his coming fulfilled in the coming of John the Baptist? After John the Baptist died, Christ said, chapter 17, I think it's verse 11, Elijah will come. How much of Elijah do you see in the book of Revelation, though? Not at all. And also, Elijah seems to be separate from the two witnesses, his ministry. And so my view is the two witnesses of the view we give here, the two witnesses will be two men that we do not know the names of today. And just like God raised up the 144,000, he's going to raise them up. He's going to supernaturally endue them with power. Power that defends, power that is offensive. Nobody will be able to hurt them. They stand in the vortex of the earth, Jerusalem, right, no doubt, at the Temple Mount where the Antichrist has his image. They are preaching, and nobody can stop them. 1260 days, day in, day out. In season, rainy weather, sunny weather, they're always there. The voice will go out. The world will hate them. Actually, they have a ministry that almost seems to be linked to the trumpet judgments that are taking place at that time. But it does seem, too, that in addition, Elijah is going to come. However, the book of Revelation does not mention Elijah. You've got two, Malachi 4:5, Matthew 17:11, Elijah will literally come and restore all things. Some said it would, and I think he'll come. I'm just saying the Bible does not mention it in the book of Revelation. All right, so that's something about the two witnesses. You see on page 597, their miracles. They have miracles of defense. It says, if any man, in chapter 11, verse 5, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. And then miracles of judgment. And this is why we believe it's the second half of the tribulation, a number of reasons. It's in the context of it. But if they have power to shut heaven, that it rain not, power over waters to turn them to blood, that's going to happen under the trumpet judgments. And the plagues, as often as they will. And so here are two powerful witnesses. It's a message of always the gospel. Always the gospel. In every age, it's the gospel. Christ died. Christ was buried. Christ arose. In different ages, there will be different attendant truths. And of course, in that day, they will be preaching about the judgment and that Christ is coming and the afflictions and explaining why the world is suffering the way it does. And so they will be. And then we have their martyrdom. You'll notice when they die. And when they had finished their testimony, verse 7, they're immortal, they're invulnerable until the work is done. We'll work till Jesus comes, until he's finished. We will just occupy till he comes. Every day they would get up, they would go, and they knew that the people weren't waiting for them, weren't going, hoping they wouldn't come. They attract interest all over the world. Social media will no doubt record what they're doing. And so it's a worldwide ministry. While they're doing this, in Jerusalem, the 144,000 will be everywhere across the globe. But the two witnesses in Jerusalem. But then they die. When they finish their testimony, they preach at 1,260 days, not a day less. By whom they died? It's that beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. And I notice it says he makes war against them. Now he's making war against them. He could not stop them. This is the man that virtually conquered the world. This is a man of whom it said in chapter 13, verse 4, 13, verse 7 of Revelation, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? This is the man that it's got 10 horns, but it's 7 key powers, core powers, has become the world's dictator. This is the man that has made the great image in Jerusalem. This is the man that you can't buy or sell unless you take his mark. He is controlling everything. Not a dog barks without his permission, except the 144,000. And they just keep on, and he makes war against them. And nobody can stop. He can't stop. The two witnesses. What did I say? Wow, them two. But cannot stop them. The 144,000 are taken to heaven before the vials are poured out. You see that in chapter 12. All right, so they die and they are killed. And that is amazing. And at the midpoint, the Antichrist, he's identified, though, as the one that ascended out of the bottomless pit. By the way, when you get to chapter 13, three times regarding the Antichrist, it says he has a deadly wound that was healed. We can only tell you what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. He had a deadly wound wounded to death, his deadly wound was healed. And the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, the beast which had the wound by a sword, perhaps an assassination attempt upon his life. And then he seems to be energized from the bottomless pit, the same place where the demonic locusts come out of, in chapter 9. These are things the Bible says. We believe them, but we cannot articulate, we cannot explain, but this is what's going to happen. To what extent that he dies? Can Satan give life? We doubt it. But yet the world is going to view him as having come back from the dead. He's going to, yes, Christ is the one who died, rose again. This man is going to appear to do the same. And so that's going to happen. But we can't overstress the fact that in order to overcome the two witnesses, he made war against them. Now that is a very strange, in verse 7, a very strange term to use of against two men. And that just demonstrates their absolute power. So, what a time. It was much easier for him to conquer the world than to conquer these two men. And so, you got that. We mentioned here the Lamb is mentioned 28 times in Revelation. That's multiples of 4 times 7. The beast is mentioned 36 times, the Antichrist. That's 6 times 6. And we'll find out when the beast is mentioned 36 times, very remarkably, that if you add 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 to 31, 32 to 33, you ought to add all the increments between 1 and 36, it equals 666. Amazing. Amazing. Found 36 times in the Bible, and you add all those intermediate digits up, and it will equal 666. So that's something we will see more of in chapter 13. Now, but he kills them. He kills them, and they're dead, and they're in Jerusalem. He doesn't have to move them. He lets them be right there. They've been in Jerusalem. They died in Jerusalem. They served in Jerusalem. They, as far as we know, never leave Jerusalem. Jerusalem's the center of the earth. Ezekiel 5, verse 5, they're in Jerusalem. Their funeral will be in Jerusalem. And you'll notice what Jerusalem is like, how the world reacts. We're going to speak on Sunday night on the world's most unusual funeral, but we have just this immediate word about it here. It's a despicable funeral. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of that of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Now, can you imagine that? For at least 7, 8, 9 years, they've been having gay pride, annual gay pride marches in Jerusalem. And Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. They of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And so they're not just satisfied with their death. They are going to make the most of it. It's going to be an international celebration. They're going to exchange gifts, as we see in the next verse. And a great party, like a satanic rock concert. Most rock concerts are satanic, but this will be especially so. Blasphemous rejoicing. They that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, make merry, send gifts one to another. It will be a satanic Christmas party. Everything unbelievable. Satan seems to have won. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 20 and verse 5, the triumphing of the wicked is short. And while the wrappings of the gifts are still floating around in the air, the funeral comes to an abrupt halt. And we will look at that a bit on, I think you know what's going to happen. But 3.5 years they preach, 3.5 days they lie there, and then they come to life. And those burning torches that they were, the Bible says of John the Baptist, he was a burning and a shining light. The burning torches have been in the presence of God, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now they're given leave to return, and they arise. And so the two witnesses. Again, it reminds us in these days. I know we're not on like this, but we do have a witness. And without God's power and His Spirit, not by might nor by power, unless He empowers us, we cannot be a light for Him at all. And we have to rely upon Him and Him alone to be that light and that power. And so we want to be that in these days. Anything you'd like to comment on this or questions that you've got on the two witnesses? The two witnesses.
Yeah. I don't know. I think in verse 7, my reading of it is more that it's Apollyon that comes in.
It is. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. I'm. Who did I say it was? The Antichrist.
Yeah. Well,
oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Yes, we in our notes said we came to a conclusion that Apollyon and Abaddon, the destroyer, was Satan, the star that came from heaven. Okay, so you could be right. You could well be right. So it could be the dragon, the anti-father, rather than the antichrist. But it does say, I'm sorry, it does say in verse 'The beast that ascendeth out of the pit.' Yeah. Whether it's Satan or the Antichrist, my feeling it's the Antichrist, but you got a point there. You got a point there. He thinks it's Apollyon. You know, I have to go back. I think it's the Antichrist. Yeah, yes. I think it has to be the Antichrist rather than Abaddon or Apollyon. Abaddon and Apollyon were names given to Satan himself in chapter 9. So, Bean's destroyer, who leads the demonic locust. I think this is the Antichrist. The fact that it's the beast, but the point, what I reference this to, and is the fact that three times it says he appears to die. It appears that he is energized from the bottomless pit. This is, no, I would not agree with that. Yeah, that ascendeth. It doesn't say he ascended it. No, right, yeah. Right. So, good point, but probably have to disagree with you on that. Right. I hope you keep coming to Bethel. All right. Anything else? Wow. I did, didn't it? And it made this Sunday evening's message. I had to think of a title for Sunday evening's message. And what am I going to call it? It is a service. It's you're dead. An internment. Huh? Awakening? Awake? Okay. It's too late. We've already sent the names. We send them to Toy and every Sunday evening, the names of the messages for the czar. Okay. No, it is unbelievable. It is terrible. It is vile. It is wicked. And it's going to be short-lived, though. Whatever you call it. We're going to make the most of this. We put up with these two men for 3.5 years. We won't listen to them. We don't like what they say. They talked about repentance. We don't want anything to do with that. We're not going to listen to them. And they tormented us. Well, we couldn't get away from them. And now we're just going to make the most of this. They probably would have let it go on and on and on and on. But the Bible says in Job 12, 20, verse 5, the triumphing of the wicked is short. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. 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 Anything else? Yes. They are. They are. They don't witness. They witness right up to the time of the vile judgments which take place in the last couple of weeks of the tribulation. So they are concurrently witnessing at the same time that the two witnesses are, but they're all over the world. The reason we know they're all over the world is the fruit of their labors, given in chapter 7, that the fruit of their labors are people saved from all over the world, a great multitude that no man could number from every tribe and kindred and tongue of the earth. So we know they're everywhere. Two witnesses in Jerusalem. Anything else? All right. Well, this is amazing. We need to know these things. These are principles, though, that everything that they were, though, was of God. They couldn't, it wasn't anything of self. They were dead to self. God used them. God can use us today. He can make us a witness for Him today. They were in the minority. We're in the minority. And yet God can use us in that case.